most of the time the bumper music I play has to do with a theme of what we're going to talk about or the guest or whatever. So what we're going to do today, we don't even have a name for it yet, but we're going to talk to people that have military spouses that have seen post-traumatic winning, and we're going to talk about it. So today I'm joined by Berta and Allison, who both happen to live in Camp Lejeune, or Camp Lejeune, however you pronounce it, North Carolina. And ladies, first of all, welcome to this thing we're doing where we're talking about post-traumatic winning. Thanks for doing it. You're welcome. All right, so I'm going to give you a chance to introduce yourself, and we'll go in alphabetical order. So, Allison, you're going to go first, and tell us who you are, and just as importantly, why you felt compelled to be a part of this.
Sure. My name is Allison. I have been with my Marines for 20 years. We've been married for 15 of that. We have two beautiful children. Currently, we're at Camp Lejeune. We're getting ready to execute orders out to Camp Pendleton. And so we're excited about that move. I'm currently a preschool teacher, but my professional background is in social work. I have my master's degree in social work. I worked in a number of different settings thanks to His Beloved Corps, Child Protective Services, emergency mental health, and now preschool. And I wanted to take part in this because I firmly, both professionally and personally, believe in the power of storytelling and what it can do for people to both heal and create space for trauma in their life.
Very good. Berta?
I'm Berta, and I'm also at Camp Lejeune. I actually grew up in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and I moved to the state when I was 16 as a 4-exchange student and ended up staying for college and meeting my husband and getting married. So we're going on 14 years of marriage, and he currently deployed to Afghanistan with Task Force Southwest. But post-traumatic winning has really touched me. The presentation spoke, you know, just really brought it home. I grew up with a lot of trauma and crazy households, alcoholic mom, no dad. So it just makes sense to be a part of this. This is, everybody needs to hear this, whether you're a Marine, whether you're a spouse, whether you're in the military. This is not, trauma is trauma. Everybody has a little bit or a lot of it. So we wanted to share in this amazing journey with you.
Berta was sitting in front of me, to my left as I was doing most of the presentation. And there's different people that catch your eye as you present this. They react to certain parts of it. But for whatever reason, I could tell that it was registering. Probably it was because of tears in her eyes that I saw. But, I remember you sitting there and watching and just being, you catching my attention by the way you reacted and then staying afterwards and talking about it. And I will tell you, it's very interesting to do with spouses because military spouses get it right away, right? Sometimes Marines don't get it the first time and it takes a while to sink in, but spouses get it immediately. It's amazing because they live this life. And so... So, first of all, thanks for doing this, ladies, today. I appreciate it. I'm excited about doing it because I think it's a dialogue that we really haven't had in our culture, and it only does good. So let me just frame this first little installment and what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about really the whole idea of coexisting with trauma, and there's really three elements that go into coexisting with trauma. And the first is to understand it's the first commandment of post-traumatic winning, and that is trauma gets all of us at some point. There's not too many humans that roll through their life that aren't affected by trauma in some way, shape, or form. And that's important to understand that. And one of the sub articles of the first commandment is, you know, it's going to affect you, but it's not, it doesn't need to be a dark alley. It doesn't need to be a dead end, and it certainly isn't a death sentence. There's a path to a greater life once trauma enters in your life, but it really helps if you have a guide, and if you can, if somebody can help you navigate through that smoke and debris that gets in the air that you can't really see to show you a better way. And so hence, the importance of post-traumatic winning. The second commandment is, that's really important, is on the way to coexisting is trauma is trauma is trauma is trauma. Now I talk about my, experiences as a Marine and then how my bifocals got created, and that was by an incident that happened to my sister. Both her sons were murdered by their father when my sister said that she was moving out and she wanted a divorce. Now, nothing any of my, and then he ultimately, you know, he killed himself at that same time. So I've always thought in all my travels throughout Iraq and Afghanistan as an infantryman that the things that we experience are very difficult, but I'm not even in my sister's zip code. I'm not close to her. And so I've always been mindful of that. And so that's where the second commandment comes from. And that is, there is no merit in judging somebody else's trauma because I got mine in combat. Mine's worth more. Mine's somehow or other valued at a higher rate than yours is. And we, as men and women who fight, we have to get over that. That my sister's trauma is every bit as equal to mine, right, if not greater than mine, and certainly is greater than mine. But I think it's in the recognition that trauma is trauma is trauma, and giving respect to each other's trauma, that everybody's trauma has merit, and the playing field gets very level. And then when you add the third commandment in, and that is you're not going to get over it, right? And to me, one of the beautiful things about the third commandment is it's such a relief to people that struggle with trauma and have people telling them, hey, you need to get over that. Time heals all wounds and all the other things people say with good intentions but simply aren't true. And so if you understand those three things, then you understand this concept of coexisting, that you're not going to get over it. You are going to have ups and downs, and that's okay. And so, Allison, I want you to start, and I want you to talk about the idea of coexisting. As you heard those things in post-traumatic winning, what were your thoughts about it, and how has it impacted you?
So for me, both from my personal background and my professional background, you know, it resonated with me as just, you know, truth. In my work in emergency mental health, I cannot tell you, I don't think there was a single person I ever met in acute crisis who, once we started really talking and getting down to it, one or two or three traumatic events in their life that either, A, I've never told anybody this before, and I can't believe I'm telling you. You know, and there were events that they were still trying to run away from or hide from. Not telling their story, not recognizing the importance of sharing their trauma, thinking that somehow somebody else's trauma was more valued than theirs, or somehow worse than theirs, would keep them from sharing. And then they'd end up in our emergency room trying to have overdosed on one thing or another. Or were brought in by a concerned spouse who didn't understand why they were saying they wanted to end their lives. So I think not addressing your trauma, I think not telling your story, and I think devaluing your trauma leads to a lot of long-term negative consequences. So hearing you talk about trauma from that standpoint of, you know, look, we've all got it. No one is without it. It happens to everybody. The impact that trauma has on you is, and the long-term impact really that trauma has on you is what you have to get at the heart at. But whether it's the experiences that happened to me personally or the experience of the people that I've worked with in the emergency room. Everybody has it. You can't hide from it. At some point in your life, a traumatic thing is going to happen to you. I can promise you, at 22, 23 years old, if someone had said to me, hey, you're going to be living in New York City on September 11th, I would have told them that they were insane, that something that dramatically traumatic would never happen to me in my lifetime. I think even statistics said you'd more likely to be struck by lightning than be in a terrorist attack. But sure as the day is long, there I was, standing in Manhattan. So I think you never know when trauma is going to affect you. You never know the degree of what that trauma is going to be. But you also aren't ever going to escape it once it's happened. So you have to address it head on, and you have to talk about it. And if you don't talk about it, it will chase you down.
It will hunt you. It will hunt you. It will come get you wherever you try to hide.
But you can hide your entire life from trauma. And to the, bless my sweet mother who passed away last year, to the end of her life, she was still unwilling to talk about her sister's death and her alcoholic father and all of the things that happened to her. And it chased her all the way until the day she died. She never had peace. And that's a shame, because she could have had peace. Not peace in the sense that...
No, she could have had peace. No, but I think you're right, right? We understand what you're saying, right?
Yeah. I'm not saying peace in the sense that she doesn't think about it anymore. I mean peace in the sense that it doesn't define who she is. It doesn't define her person. It's a part of who she is. All of my traumas make me who I am, but they don't define me. And I think that's what I was hearing and listening to you talk about. That's what I was hearing as you spoke about coexisting. That's what coexisting with trauma is about. It's about accepting these traumas as a part of who we are and then doing something practical with that.
Got it. All right. Berta?
My main point was that, you know, trauma is trauma, and that it doesn't matter if your spouse has been to combat and come back with, you know, a lot of PTSD or your trauma is just as valuable. And it's just as important, and it's just as big, and it matters. And, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, like Allison said, you know, if you don't talk about your trauma, people can't get to know the real you. And when we were dating, you know, like I said, I grew up with a lot of trauma and hid it my whole life. And when I started dating my husband, I tried to, you know, break up with him several times because I was like, no, I have a lot of baggage. You don't want to be involved in this. This is just too messy. you don't want my hot mess. And he goes, no, I do. I actually do. My family is kind of over-functional, so I kind of do want to be a part of your mess. And, you know, that made room for me to share with him the way I grew up and everything from my childhood until where, you know, we met. And if he knew me, he then knew me, he knew who I was, and then obviously in the, you know, as we get married and have children, he knows if I snap or if there's something I'm sensitive to, he knows why, because I have shared my trauma with him. But I think the most important part is that it's easy for us wives to share about our trauma. It's not so easy for the Marine or for the men in our lives to share back with us. And I think that's where part of the problem is.
Can I?
Yes.
And I want to tell you, I came home from that presentation and I sat down with my husband and I said, listen, we need to talk.
The words that men hate to hear, right?
Yeah, I said, we're going to have a chat. And, you know, he's been pretty adamant with me over the years that he's not really going to share with me the things he saw and the things that occurred while he was in combat. And I sat down and I said, you know what, I've given you a pretty free ride on that. I haven't pushed you. I haven't given you a hard time. You know, he's an introvert. He's also a quiet man, so I got to respect that as well. So I've been real careful on that front. I said, but you know what? I'm done. And after hearing this gentleman speak tonight, pretty much just, you know, verifying everything I know both personally and as a helping professional, you got to start talking, buddy. Like, your free ride is over. You don't have to tell me now. You don't have to tell me tomorrow. But at some point, you are going to have to tell some parts of what happened to you, even if it just means you share with me, even if it just means you just talk to me about the things that cause you trauma right now. Like, you can't keep it inside. You got to stop. Like, at some point, it's just going to wreck you. And I'm kind of tired of letting you have that ride. And he was less than pleased. But he got over himself pretty quickly. Because that is what intimate partners do. You don't marry someone because you expect them to be, or at least I didn't, marry him because I expected him to be a rock for the next 50 years. I married him to share life with, and part of life is trauma. Yeah. And sometimes it's your old trauma, and sometimes it's trauma that happens to you both at the same time, and sometimes it's trauma you experience separate from one another. But you don't share your life with somebody to not share that trauma. And so ultimately it creates more intimacy, and, you know, I said to him, listen, buddy.
Right, and I think we have this misconception as well that trauma only comes from combat, you know, and that's not true.
That's right.
So even though our husbands deploy and they see things and they hear things, their trauma might be, you know, from childhood or from something that happened in college or for something that happened in the office, you know.
Or watching things happen to you, their spouse, that they can't participate in because they're across the world and you're in a hurricane and they can't be there.
Right.
Or your son has a rare autoimmune illness and they can't be there to support you. Your mother dies and they can't come to the funeral. I mean, they experience their own secondary trauma, but the traumas we experience that have nothing to do with combat.
Right.
That then traumatize them. So I think the sharing of that is what intimacy is. We're not supposed to do life alone.
Right.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think that we are... And I say we, and I'll say this for men as a collective in Marines, so if, you know, female Marines are listening, and this goes equally as much for their spouses.
Yeah.
We isolate ourselves, and we're horrible at it. And in the presentation, I use the examples, you know, Grandpa fought in World War II, and you hear this all the time, and he never talked about it. You know, and I always say, yeah, well, he was also at the VFW every day at 4 o'clock, but we're not going to talk about that. Uncle Larry, he fought in Vietnam. He came home. He never talked about it for a lot of reasons. And he's been drunk for 30 years, and we don't even see that guy anymore. And so, you know, so we go to Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, Syria, Yemen, wherever, and we see what we see. Well, I'm a man. I could handle my business. And so I kind of turned it into a little piece of satire, right? So because I love you, I can't go there with you, and I'm going to be over here isolating myself, and I'm going to shove you away from me, and that's how we're going to get through this, because I love you. And I mean, when you listen to it, it's the stupidest stuff in the world, but that's the world that we live in. That's the world that, and we think, I think, especially men think, that we have to be like that. And I think it is such a relief when all of a sudden the playing field gets level and somebody looks at us and says, I'm not having it anymore, we're going to go there. Mm-hmm. And you're essentially telling us it's okay to be flawed, it's okay to be a human, and I'll be here for you. Because guess what?
Yeah.
We're living alone up to that point that somebody says that to us, and that's why, to me, doing this with spouses has been so powerful for me. Because honestly, it's a world that I didn't know that well, and by virtue of talking to spouses, right, they take you behind the curtain that they live in, and their frustration, but their ultimately their love and respect for their Marine, and like, okay, I don't push him too hard because I don't want to go there. And now my conclusion is, no, you need to push. You need to go there because he needs you to save him.
And the conversation we ended up having was one of, listen, like you didn't marry me because I was a wilting flower. Like, that's not why we got married. Like, we got married kind of old in Marine Corps standards. We didn't get married right out of college. I was 28 and he was 30. Like, we'd done life. Like, you knew where I had been. I knew where you had been. But we didn't jump onto this ship and row it together because you thought I needed you to row the whole boat. So like, I've given you space because I love you and I respect you and I want to make sure you appreciate that. But at the same time, it's a two-way street.
Yeah, the misconception that they can hold it and we...
And he doesn't have to. There's nothing broken or flawed in him.
Right.
I don't expect him to be perfect. I don't expect him to be a rock. I don't expect him to be 100% oorah all day long. I expect him to be a person. And people are broken and people are flawed and people are up as often as they are down.
Yeah, and the sharing needs to go both ways. You know, we crave intimacy as... You know, as human beings, we crave community and we crave to be accepted and loved. And
mm-hmm.
there's no way for people to enter and know us without sharing. And
mm-hmm.
in a marriage, I can't think of anything more intimate, you know, a more intimate relationship than a marriage. So that misconception that you can't share because you love them needs to mm-hmm. end.
Yeah, that damage, it's number four. It's number four. You know, that damage doesn't change who you are as a person. But it adds to who you are as a person, and I think that's what I would want fans and people to and Marines to appreciate, that your trauma actually offers opportunity for you to grow, both as a person and to help other people grow. So hiding it, not talking about it, and not sharing it, you're really actually, not only are you doing yourself a detriment, but you're not helping out for common good either.
Well, you know what? Honestly, as I sit here and listen to you, you're a diminished form of yourself if you will not embrace this
mm-hmm.
and then go touch lives of other people that you can touch on a daily basis. And so if you're only being a diminished version of yourself, you're cheating yourself. And so let's go there for all these great reasons.
That's right.
And so let me ask you a couple pointed questions. And, Berto, I'll start with you. So give advice. How do you go there with somebody? Right? And because Allison just gave an example, and you're talking about, so we'll talk about two things, right? That is, one, you have your own trauma that you live with that a lot of spouses have they've subordinated their own trauma because of this combat thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And oftentimes, you know, your trauma is more acute than maybe his is, but there's this whole aura of this combat trauma thing. Okay, so I want to ask about that, and then how do you? I want to ask you. So what do you say? Does it simply start with "we got to talk" and then go? How do you go there? So Berto, go ahead and start that.
So first, I guess you know, with the sharing. I mean, when my husband comes home, I said he's deployed in combat right now. And when he comes home, I did tell him about the presentation. I told him he needs to hear it when he comes back, that I hope it spreads throughout, you know, every base in the Marine Corps and then, you know, the other branches. But I am going to push a little bit harder because I've always been that spouse that has held back and said, you know, when he's ready, he'll talk. If he wants to share anything, he'll come to me, but obviously we know that's not true. So I say just be honest and be vulnerable, you know, and that's what I plan to do. But I agree 100%. Sharing your trauma with people not only helps you, but it helps them. And I'll give it a really quick example. When we were married like 8 years, I had a couple miscarriages. And I just held it in. I held it in because I was scared and I was sad and I was devastated. And a couple people came out and said, guess what? I've had 2 miscarriages. Guess what? I've had 3 miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't easy for those people to do, but it helped me. It helped me see with these new goggles that, you know, everybody has trauma. Everybody. It doesn't matter what size, it doesn't matter what kind, but everybody has a little bit to share. And when we come out and we share about our life and our trauma, it actually helps people. It actually helps them to realize that, you know, we're all human. You're never going to get over it, but learning to live with it and helping other people is the way to do it.
Allison, and so what? What? So specifically, along the lines Berta talked about, how do you, you know, is it simply starting the conversation? And I want, you've been married a little bit longer, yes, Allison?
Well, we've been together for 20 years. Okay. We've been together 20 years, married for 15 of it.
Okay, so a lot of people have gone down that road as a married couple where I don't go there with you, and I may have tried a couple times like you said you had. Mm-hmm. Is it simply a question of being adamant and saying, look, I know I'm right about this?
Truth be told, I'm a bit of a confrontational person anyway, but I just am, But mostly from a place of honesty, you know, like, and so for me, as someone who's, you know, I've been with my Marines for 20 years, I've given him space, I've given him time, both my personal experience and my professional experience tells me you should be talking, and then I come and I sit at this presentation and I'm like, oh, thank God, somebody else is talking about this, you know, like, yes, and then it just gave me a little bit, I mean, I can say to him, I am really grabbing onto my courage right now by telling you I'm not going to let you not talk about it anymore. I'm not going to tell you that I'm okay with you saying that you're not going to talk with it. And that's where we left it, that me needing to tell him the truth, my truth, and my truth was, here's my truth, honey. I'm not okay with you not telling me ever. You are going to have to do some work around that. Like, I'm drawing a line in the sand and saying, you saying to me, Allison, I'm never going to share any parts or pieces of anything that ever happened to me during my 3 combat tours and my MU, I'm never going to share any of that with you, is not okay with me as your life partner. You have got to change that point of view. I don't care how you get there. And I've just had to be very blunt. But we've got 20 years of life together. So, we're standing in a different space for me to be able to say that to him. When it comes to my peers, when it comes to fellow spouses, I think it's also equally important to be sharing our own traumas and being willing to be vulnerable with what they are. Because I think we also have a tendency as spouses, which we haven't really touched on, but a tendency to pretend that everything is okay.
And to be tough.
And to be tough.
Yeah.
And that's
so wait a minute. So you guys are faking it too?
No, we are fake, man.
I thought we were the only ones faking it.
Yeah, we can fake it hardcore. We can make it look super pretty when on the inside, you know, it ain't so pretty.
Right.
Because there is also the misconception that military spouses are the strongest and the toughest because they can move, you know, by themselves while their husbands are gone, and they can raise children on their own while their husbands or wives are gone. So,
and that's not to say we can't.
Right.
But I think the thing that this presentation really hits on is the importance of talking about the reality of that pain, sitting with that pain
alone.
I think something we don't do, I don't think any human culture does this well. We do not allow people to sit in their pain. It does not matter where your pain comes from. Your pain can come from combat. Your pain can come from abuse. Your pain can come from a tragic car accident. There's a million different ways we can experience trauma. If you ignore the pain that trauma has caused and you try to just walk over top of it, we've already talked about this, it will hunt you down. And so I think we need to allow our spouses opportunity. We have to be direct and say, honey, I love you, but you no longer get a free ride. And we have to say to our neighbors, hey, you look like you're having a rough time. You don't have to tell me about it, but just know I'm here if you need somebody to talk to about it.
And this is why this presentation is so important, is because there are consequences, right, that we mm-hmm. talked about. There's consequences to keeping your trauma to yourself and not sharing it.
Right.
And you're going to end up like
Uncle Larry from Vietnam, drunk and nobody talks to you.
Yep. You're going to end up in domestic abuse, maybe, mm-hmm. Divorce.
Neglect your child.
Alcohol. Yeah. So this is crazy, and it needs to stop.
So I think the answer to your question is you have to have the courage to say, we're going to talk about this.
Well, and let me just tell you, everything about our culture that is embodied in post-traumatic winning, I didn't make that stuff up. I've listened to interviews with Marines mostly for the last 3 years, and we talk about, you know, our culture, and at some point we talk about mental health. and the stories are the same. And that's yep. where all of that stuff comes from, and that's what I love about it. It is our culture, and it is the lessons learned from our culture relative to post-combat-related mental health or post-traumatic-related mental health. And it's not a death sentence. And as one of you said, you know, don't be content to live a diminished version of yourself, right? And if you have somebody that's willing to go there with you and walk you to that door that leads to a greater life, which is sharing your traumatic wisdom with somebody else and changing their lives, like, there is no greater feeling. And I say this in the presentation because it happens to me every day. It just happened to me in the course of us doing this interview. I've got an email that popped into my inbox that said, thank you for what you're doing. I just found out about it. I listened, and oh, my God, are you kidding me? And so, and the beautiful part about post-traumatic winning is everybody can do that. Everybody can affect the life of somebody else. And most importantly, right, start in your own in your own backyard, and that is with your spouse. And don't be afraid to look at them, right, and do the things that Allison said she did and Berta said she's going to do. Hey, we're going to go there. Cause, and again, here's the deal. I need to go there, and if it takes you forcing me to go there with you, because I'm dying in this cocoon that I've constructed with myself. And I don't like it, and it's such a lonely place. But this is where I think I'm supposed to be because of Grandpa and Uncle Larry and other role models I have. And so please rescue me. Please rescue me.
I'm going to interrupt because I really want to say one more thing about what you just said because it's so big. This is we are role modeling for our children. When we role model for our children the importance of being vulnerable enough to be intimate, that doesn't mean they have to sit there and listen to daddy's stories. But they benefit from that. When we're honest with our children that what they've experienced or what they've done or what's happening right now, we say, gosh, that really is hard. Let me sit here with you and hold you for a minute. I don't have to say anything. I'm just going to hold you while you do this hard thing. Things are hard when you're 9. They're hard when you're 12. They're hard when you're 15. We need to role model that for our kids so they don't think they have to be Grandpa or Uncle Larry. They don't. They don't have to be those people. They can be different people who are empowered by their trauma and their pain to do good things for others as opposed to being, like you said, a diminished version of themselves.
Yes, and there's beauty in sharing your trauma, not just with your spouse, because, you know, not only we all have it, but it gives room for people to share their trauma with you. It makes them more comfortable. Just like when you have people come to you after your presentation, you know, they don't know you, but you just shared, you were vulnerable, you shared your experiences, and now they feel like they can share with you. And we don't have to be victims. We don't have to, you know, live in that trauma for the rest of our lives, making ourselves miserable. It makes us I used to wish that the things didn't happen to me. But now I'm like, you know what? They happened. That can't be changed. Mm-hmm. It's made me who I am. And let's move forward, you know? I'm not going to raise my children the way I was raised. I'm not going to be the kind of mom that my mom was, you know? So you learn from your trauma by being vulnerable and, you know, sharing it.
I tell my kids all the time, every hard thing you do today means the next hard thing you can do tomorrow. Every hard thing you do today, it tells you that you have the capacity and the confidence to do the next hard. I don't know what that next hard thing is going to be, but you'll be able to do it because you just did that last one. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's how I view my own personal trauma. It's what I would share with my clients when I met with them. And it's what I share with my kids and it's what I say to my husband.
All right. First of all, this is awesome. Again, this is the first one we've ever done, and this is great, great, great stuff. And again, what I love about the whole thing is it's only about the truth. Mm-hmm. Every bit of this. And I would say this, were Grandpa and Uncle Larry listening today, they would look at me and say, listen to them. go there with them because I did not enjoy 1 second of my time in those places, and I wish somebody had talked to me and sat me down and done this for me, and my life would have been so much better. I wouldn't have been as lonely, and I think Grandpa and Uncle Larry would say, I'm begging you, go there with them, and your life will be better. So give me a final thought. Of all the things we talked about today, Allison, what do you want to leave? What do you hope people leave with today that are listening to this?
I think the thing I would want people to live with, to leave this with, is to feel empowered to embrace our trauma, empowered to have the courage to approach someone in their life they know has trauma and hasn't talked about it, that they will take a half a minute to look over the golden commandments and to see how those can translate over into their own life. I think that's it.
All right. Berta, how about you? Something that you hope, or the thing you hope people take out of listening to this?
It's the fifth commandment. We've got to talk about our trauma and stay connected to our tribe. You know, we need to learn to coexist with it and thrive in it. There is a way to thrive in trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the only one, and we all have a little bit of it or a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you share, the more intimate you can be with people, not just your family, but friends and community. And it's helpful because you never know when you're going to be, touching somebody else's life by sharing what you've been through.
No, and first of all, thank you both for coming on and doing the inaugural version of this. As I just said, listening to it, it's awesome, and it's the truth, and it's I love your perspective as spouses and watching all of this, and then coming that night and hearing all the things you know to be true, but. You know, I think it's important that we as Marines say it and that we say it to each other. And so, and then, you know, that way we can go there with you and get out of that isolated space that we put ourselves in. That is the first step of destructive behavior. And that is isolating ourselves. So well done, ladies. Thank you very much. And maybe in the future we'll do another one. Thank you.
That's great.
All right. That is, from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, that is Allison and Berta. More coming up on our next installment. Don't miss it right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network.